appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one with another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12.
Father God, my prayer as we begin this journey for the next 8 weeks through Romans chapter 12, that we could have that same passion with which those words were read. That we could understand the truth and the reality of this incredible chapter, this jewel of scripture given to us in the book of Romans. Father, that every person in our faith family can be transformed by the ideas of this chapter and by the power of the Holy Spirit that gave these words to the Apostle Paul. And Father, that each of us might seek to outdo our own paths in how we have lived for you. That we might seek to live a life worthy of your calling, to be the living sacrifice that's mentioned in this passage. Father, speak to us today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I am so excited to begin our new journey together through Romans chapter 12. If you have your Bible, please turn there. That's exactly what Carrie was so beautifully reading for us right there. But would you turn to Romans chapter 12? Right in the middle of this passage, it says, outdo one another in showing honor. Have you ever tried to outdo anyone with your actions? The word outdo, the definition, I looked it up. There's a few, but the main definitions are to surpass or exceed. It's exactly what you think it means, to outdo. People in the world that we live in, humans have a mind to outdo others with just about any endeavor. I looked up online some of the strangest ways people have tried to outdo others, and I found just a few. There are hundreds, by the way, but I found a few. We'll show a few pictures while I'm saying this. In 2013, 4,483 people hula hooped simultaneously for 7 minutes in Bangkok to break a world record. They decided to outdo 4,482 people that did it somewhere else. Can you imagine? In June 2009, a gentleman outdid all others with the world record by juggling 3 running chainsaws for 62 successful times in a row. Now, when I look at this, and I think he did this 62 full rotations, and that was the world record, I can't help but believe he didn't try for more. What did number 63 look like is what I want to know. But we don't know that. I don't have pictures of that. That may be a good thing. A few years ago, a Japanese fashion designer outdid all others with the world record for having the tallest mohawk with his hair. It was 3 feet, 8.6 inches high. Listen, everybody needs a goal in life, okay? So there's a few of you men in here that could maybe pull this off. If you start right now, you got a long way to go. I personally have always had a dream to outdo everyone else in one particular area. Some of you know about a strange collection that I have, but I will tell you that I have been collecting now for a couple of years different versions of people singing the campy Christmas song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I own 92 versions of Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Now, some of you are thinking that's sad. It's a good thing. Listen, I've got everything from the Brady Bunch to Conway Twitty to heavy metal bands. If somebody sings it, I got it. Now, listen, be jealous if you want. But if you ever are feeling down, just come see me and we'll play a few together. And by the way, it's 204 days to Christmas if you weren't keeping up with it yet. Okay. Well, I can tell you this, though. This was interesting. I thought, what's some way that we as a congregation could break a world record today? At the start of the message, to outdo others. So here's what we came up with. We just need 212 of the people in this room, and there's well over that in here. There's well over 300 in here. We need 212 people who can stand on one leg and sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Let's go. Everybody stand up. I'm just kidding. Good grief. Some of y'all started to stand up. Man, you're good to go. Okay. We're not doing that. No. So I would dare say trying to outdo anyone with anything has very little lasting value. There's not much value in trying to outdo someone else because sooner or later, someone's gonna come along and outdo you. It's just the way life works. But there is one exception, and I believe it's right here in Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 10. It says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Paul says, surpass, exceed one another in showing honor. It's not so much about showing more honor than someone else. It's about continuing to show more and more honor. Now, Romans chapter 12 is all about putting feet to your faith. It's all about practical faith and purposeful living. And over the next 8 weeks, we're going to journey through this chapter a few verses at a time. And I hope we will be challenged and inspired to live the grace of Jesus among our family, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, our enemies, our faith family, all together living this out. Now, we're not going to focus on setting any world records, but we will strategically focus on outdoing the life of service and love that we formerly had, each of us as individuals and each of us as a church as well. The basic idea is this: we can all surpass our past. Whatever you have done to this point to love others, whatever you have done to this point to show honor and hospitality, we're going to seek to outdo that as a faith family and move forward. This summer series, I really believe, is crucial to the life of our church. So I want to encourage you, if you're going to be on vacation over the next 8 weeks, and we totally understand it's a time that many of us will take vacations, if that's going to be the case, please go back and watch online or watch it live from wherever you happen to be. But at least go back and look at it later, because the idea of these messages, I believe Romans chapter 12 builds upon itself. that yes, there's lots of standalone phrases and thoughts and ideas here, but we're going to build one upon another every single week, hopefully developing what, and these are strong words, what we might even consider a ministry manifesto for our church, how we can seek to live and do ministry based off of Romans chapter 12. So let me give you a little background really quick. Paul wrote this letter to the Roman church, what we call the book of Romans. He wrote this letter without ever having been to Rome. He had not ever been there yet. He would go there later. And this church was a blend of Jewish believers and Gentile believers. And they were really struggling to see eye to eye on how to receive their faith and how to live out their faith. The truth is, if we were to look at a church like ours, a congregation like ours, though we may not be divided in heritage by Jew and Gentile, we would come from many various backgrounds. So there would be a lot in common that we would have different thoughts, understandings, preferences and history and traditions that are brought together in this place, different worldviews. And so there's a lot we can learn from the book of Romans. The central theme of the entire book, and we're only going to use one chapter, but the central theme of the entire book is righteousness. The entire book, if you had to sum Romans up in one word, I think most theologians would choose the word righteousness. In fact, many biblical scholars break the book down into four categories, and I'm going to just show you the overview of what many theologians would say. First of all, chapters 1 through about halfway through chapter 3, it shows that righteousness is needed. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All includes you. All includes me. Righteousness is needed. And then from about midway through Romans 3 all the way through chapter 8 is the idea that righteousness is provided. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set men free from the law of sin and death. It tells us that he provides a way of salvation to us. Romans 5:8 tells us that he demonstrates his love, and that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us to give us righteousness. So righteousness is needed, righteousness is provided. Then chapter 9 through 11 show us that righteousness is available for all people. Isn't that good news? That's you. You are part of all have sinned, but you are part of all can receive as well. Righteousness is available for you. And then chapter 12 through chapter 15, about halfway through, teaches us that righteousness is to be lived out a certain way. And so 12 through 15 is very practical, righteous living. So these four categories, righteousness is needed, righteousness is provided, righteousness is available for all, and righteousness is lived out. Then the last few verses and moving on into the next chapter are basically Paul giving some personal greetings and telling them what his future plans are. Now his plans were to come to Rome, and he did eventually come to Rome. He ends up there under house arrest. He ends up there being eventually imprisoned in a bigger way, ultimately killed for his faith. But what we're going to do now with that understanding of the book of Romans is look at this jewel of a chapter right in the middle, Romans chapter 12, and we get this incredible look at righteous living. Some of your Bibles might even give a subtitle that was termed that says how a believer should live their life. A true Christian life lived out. There's so much for us right here. So we will look together. Let's start with Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is the part you probably know better than any part of the book, of this chapter. It's well known by many. It says this, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God, what is perfect and good and acceptable. Now, when you read this and you read this passage, let's start with what it says. I appeal to you, therefore. We've talked about this before. You may have been taught this by someone else as well. But anytime you read a scripture and it starts with therefore, or within the first few words is the word therefore, you should always stop and ask a simple question. You see the word therefore, in your mind you ask, what's it there for? And that will allow you to go back and see what happened before that it is referring to, that's the foundation for what he's about to say. So he says, I appeal to you therefore. What has happened just before this? He has talked about the first 11 chapters, the need for God's grace, and then celebrating that God has provided it. So basically what he's saying here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 is, therefore, because of the mercy of God, therefore, by the mercy of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, many of you have heard this little thought before, but what's the problem with a living sacrifice? The problem is this: if you're a living sacrifices keep crawling off the altar. If you're alive, you will crawl right off that altar of doing what God says to do, of offering up our lives for him. This is why I believe the Bible does not say your bodies are a living sacrifice. It says present your bodies as a living sacrifice. What's the difference? You and I have a part to play in this. We have a part to play in living a life of worship. It is not simply that we know Jesus, so we are living a life of worship. In fact, don't ever mistake coming to a worship service for living a life of worship. This is not it. This is one small aspect of what it means to live a life of worship, to gather together corporately with other believers. But this is not a life of worship. This alone will not do it. Worship that begins and ends in the head is not true worship. Let me explain what I mean. If you simply take in more knowledge of God and you say, that's great, and I love to learn more, I attend a Sunday school class, I'm getting more, but you don't live out what you're learning, that's not true worship. Worship that begins and ends in the heart, the emotion, is not true worship either. You can come and lift your hand for every song we sing. You can be excited to lift up praise and worship. But if you don't live a life of worship and you only speak words of worship once a week, what I would call you do is not worship, but lip service. Amen or oh my. I wasn't looking at anybody when I said it, because I've been guilty myself of sometimes offering the Lord lip service, where I will speak words of praise to him, but my life doesn't reflect that. Friends, true worship begins in the head and the heart. It has to begin there, and it leads to the hands and the home. That is the case. True worship begins in the head and the heart, and it leads to the hands and the home. And right now, your body, your physical body, is currently the home of your soul. That's where your soul resides. Someday that will not be the case, but right now that is the case. There will be a short time where that will not be the case. But friends, I want to remind you that we are called to live out what it means to be a living sacrifice. So when we crawl onto the altar and we commit our lives to the Lord, we work hard, not work, but in a sense, we daily renew our commitment that, Father, my life belongs to you. Look at verse 2 again. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The goal is not to be informed. The verse does not say, do not be conformed to this world, but be informed by the renewal of your mind. You see, I'm afraid we have substituted information for transformation in a lot of churches. That we desire to give people more information, to have them huddle together in groups more often. Let's get them in the church, inside the building as much as we can, fill people with as much information as we can, but that's really not the same. Information is not transformation. God's desire is Holy Spirit transformation in your life and mine. That we'll be transformed by the renewal of our mind. So how do we do that? First of all, if the transformation comes from renewing the mind, how do we renew the mind? Well, here's how it happens. If I could give you a simple little phrase that you would be easy to remember, I will try to do that, and that is this. It's two little things we do to renew the mind. Read the word and reduce the world. Let me just say it again. Read the word and reduce the world. Would you say that out loud with me? Read the word and reduce the world. Now, that is so easy to say, it rolls off the tongue, you can memorize it very easily, but what does it mean to live that out? Friends, it starts, if you want to renew your mind, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it means it's proactive. You have a part to play. to renew your mind. You read the Word of God. And I know that's something that we talk about often, and we value the Word of God highly here. It is truth without any mixture of error. It is living water. It is the life, and God has given it to us that we can walk in fellowship with Him and know who He is. But it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to use it, to open it, to read it. Friends, read the Word of God and then reduce the world. We have to be proactive in what we take into our minds. It will surely affect our heart. If we allow junk to go into our mind through our eyes, through our ears, through our brain, what we're reading, what we're watching, what we're looking at, the more of the world we allow in, the more it moves into the heart, and it's difficult for that to offer true renewal. It doesn't happen. So we want to read the Word and reduce the world. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to lock yourself away from the world. In fact, we are to be in the world. But it's really more about not reducing yourself from people of the world. Reduce yourself from worldly influence. It's more likely not to come from your neighbors who need Jesus than it is to come from that big box in your house that you get all these TV channels from. That shows a lot more of the world. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about ideas that are brought in. Reduce the world. Read the Word. So what I want to challenge you to do as we think through this verse, to be a living sacrifice, to be transformed, is to realize that as we do renew our minds, it will affect our hands and our homes. So let's just be really practical. Our messages will not be overly long all this next 8 weeks. That should get an amen from somebody. I don't know who. They're not going to be overly long, but each week will be designed to let us leave with a next step. Now, I know for a couple of years now, you've realized our pattern that we end every message every Sunday by saying, now, what's the next step to take? You've noticed it, I'm sure. It happens every week. But we're going to be much more specific these next 8 weeks. It's not going to be, what's the general next step? It's going to be, what's the next step for the next 7 days? So for the next 7 days, what can you and I do to renew our minds? Well, here's what I would say if you're writing things down. Outdo yourself with God's Word. It's simple. Outdo yourself with God's Word. What do I mean? A couple of things. First of all, if you're here and you have not been reading God's Word on a regular basis, for you, it's very simple. Would you just simply make a commitment that starting today for the next 7 days, you will read the entire chapter, 12th chapter of Romans every day, Romans chapter 12. You saw how long it took Carrie to read it all when she stood up here right before I began my message. So it's not going to take you long. I'm going to ask you to outdo yourself with God's Word. If you've not been reading it all, just commit to read Romans 12 every day for the next 7 days. Same chapter every single day. And ask God to speak to you and show you how you can live out the faith of what you read and see. That's all. Just that simple. Now, for those of us who have been reading daily, who are more in God's Word on a regular basis, I'm thankful for that, but I want to ask you to outdo yourself with God's Word as well. What will I ask you to do? I'm going to ask you to memorize Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 this week. Now, I already know, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, Chris, I cannot memorize things. My memorizer doesn't work like it once did, and all those things, I get it. But can I say to you, friend, whether you are 88 or 8 or anything in between, above or below, your brain is amazing. God has given you this amazing resource, this tool, your brain, and it is full, no offense, but your brain is full of useless information. Mine is too. We have all kinds of things that we have stored up and we remember that really don't matter. If you don't believe me, I'll give you a few examples. If you have children in this room that were at the age, they were children when Finding Nemo came out at the movies. I don't remember now how old it is. Not that old. But when Finding Nemo came out, and if you don't know the movie, you should rent it and watch it. I'm just kidding. But if you don't know the movie, there's plenty of families that would let you borrow it to see. But the basic idea is the fish gets lost from his family, and there's an address that he's trying to get to. And I bet money there. No, I'm not going to bet money. I'm a Baptist pastor. I will bet a donut. How about, is that safe? I don't know. We won't bet anything. Okay. I'm just saying there are people in this room who know the address because they've seen that movie so many times. It's P. Sherman, 42 Wallaby Way, Sydney, Australia. See, people in this room knew that. Why? It's in their brain. They've seen it time and time again, and so they know exactly what it is. How about this? You finished a little jingle. Now, everyone participate. If you don't participate, we're going to do this for a long time. Here we go. Ready? Like a good neighbor.
State Farm is there.
See, that's useless, but you know it. I mean, it's not useless. If you're a State Farm agent here today, it's not useless, but... For the rest of us, that's pretty useless. How about this? The younger people in the room won't know this, but adults, I'm not going to try to sing it, but I'll just say the words and you finish it. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
Oh,
all the young people are like, what is that? It sounds like you're probably drinking something you shouldn't drink if you hear it just like that. It's just Alka-Seltzer is what it is, okay? How about one last one? The best part of waking up. Okay, so you know things. You can memorize things. Don't tell me you can't memorize something that matters. You can. Romans chapter 12. My wife, I promise you, can tell you. We had our 22nd wedding anniversary on Friday. And she can, and see now, a few months ago, I said we were already married 22 years. This Friday was actually 22 years that we have been married. It's been a joy, Lily. Let's have 22 more. Yes, okay. But here's what I would say to you. My wife can tell you what I wore and what she wore on our third date when we were dating in 1995. I have no idea, but she could tell you. Some of you are thinking, I could do that. I've been married 50 years and I can tell you what I was wearing and what my spouse was wearing on our first date. Some of you can remember, my point is your brain is brilliant. So put it to use for good. Memorize this scripture passage. The idea is this. Knowing God's word by knowing where to find it in your Bible is one thing, but there is something special about being able to live out what the Bible says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. How do you hide it in your heart? You got to put it in your head. It's the only way you do it. You can't hide it in your heart till it's put in your head. So friends, memorize Romans 12, 1 and 2. Give it a try. And then the next step for the next 7 days would be this. First of all, so if you've not read God's word, to read Romans 12, that one chapter every day for 7 days. If you're already reading God's word, memorize Romans 12, 1 and 2. It doesn't matter what translation you want to use. That'll be perfectly fine and up to you. But some of you already have it probably in your mind some ways. That's quite all right. Memorize it. But the next step for each of us would be this. If you have crawled off the altar, just hop back up there. What does that mean? Make a renewed commitment to live a life fueled by God's grace and marked by his mercy over the next 7 days. Start each day with a simple mission statement that says, today, God, I want to be a living sacrifice for you. Today, June the 3rd, I want to be a living sacrifice for you. I want to be different. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, for thee. Take my will, take my hands, take my feet, take my future. That we would simply say to him, God, I'm crawling back up on the altar. I am presenting myself as a living sacrifice today, holy and acceptable unto you. This is my spiritual worship. This is what I give to you today, Father. That's my prayer, is that you and I would do that. Next week, we're going to build off the idea of renewing our mind by reading the word, reducing the world, the idea of moving forward as a living sacrifice. And now I'm going to make a statement that I probably shouldn't make, but I'm going to. Of all 8 weeks of this message series, next week's the most important one. Without a doubt, next week's the key. So I would encourage you, whatever you have to shift or do to be here next week, or be sure to watch it online later. But let's take the steps we can to move forward one at a time. Our next step for the next 7 days. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? To have privacy in the room with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Is there anyone here that would say, I'm an example of someone that has crawled off the altar and I need to simply say, Father, I present myself to you as a living sacrifice again. If that's you, I would invite you maybe to come on and just maybe get on your knees for a moment before the Lord. Just you privately with him. You don't have to wait for us to sing. You can just come now. Just say, Father, I am presenting my life as a sacrifice to you today. I want to follow your plan. Lord, maybe there are others, let me say this to you in the room, maybe there are others in the room that would say to the Lord today, I have not been renewing my mind. And so I don't know how I can expect transformation from you, Father, if I've not been renewing my mind on a daily basis. So for some, it's a commitment you're making to read Romans 12 every day for 7 days. Others that would say, I'll do my best. My brain doesn't work like it once did, but I'll do my best to memorize Romans 12, 1 and 2, that I can hide his word in my heart and live it out in the days to come. Maybe you're here, though, with your heads bowed, and you simply have never given your life to Jesus. We've talked about the righteousness of God provided for us, the righteousness needed. It's all about what Romans 3 says. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's you and me. Romans 6:23 says, the wage of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Romans 8 verse 1 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set men free from the law of sin and death. And Romans 12, 1 tells us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice because of the fact that he has renewed and made us new. So if you're here and you've never been made new by him, I would encourage you to simply say, Father, I give you my life. I repent. I change my way of thinking. I need you and your way of thinking. I need you to renew my mind. Forgive me of my sin. If that's you and you want to give your life to Jesus, now's the time, and I invite you to do so. I'll be right down front. Justin will be right down front. We would love to talk with you about that. No pressure, but we would love to talk with you about that. Maybe God's calling you to unite with our faith family. Maybe you have another decision, but you come and pray as God directs. Or you come and see us if we can pray for you. Father God, I pray that you would have your way among us. Even as we sing this little prayer of truth, take my life and let it be. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. You lift this prayer and come as God directs.